Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you. Love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a little bit disappointing that on this last day of the Easter season we have a feast that trumps the readings of the day, but in real history, this selection of Saint Matthias to take Judas's place was what immediately preceded the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so we are, in a sense, preparing very well when we ponder what the Lord had done with Matthias. There are a few points that we can describe about his feast and what it means for us. First is the way that he was chosen. Seems a little bit weird that an indecision as important as who was going to be an apostle, a pillar on whom the Lord would build his church, that they would do it by lots. But lots were the normal way the Jews were used to, by signifying divine election for a particular service. When the priestly tribes would go up to the temple, there would be 800 to 1,000 there for an 8-day turn. And there would be 3 people selected, the one for the morning sacrifice, the one for the evening sacrifice, and the one who would serve at the altar of incense. And they'd all write their names on a rock, and they'd put the rock into a huge box, and they'd shake the box, and the first 3 stones that would come out would be the ones for those respective services. So it's not a shocker that, just like the priestly class in the service of the temple would allow God to choose, we could say, by the system of lots with rocks in a box, that they would give God the same decision-making authority, so that it wouldn't be coming from them but from God, by putting these 2 names in a box. The 2 names, there was a huge disqualification, or a huge advantage. There was this one whose name was Joseph, called Barsabbas, in which he had received the name Son of the Sabbath. He was somebody already considered so holy that his whole life was a commentary on the 3rd commandment. The other was Justus, a Latin name that meant the just one, called Matthias. They prayed, turning to God and saying, "You know the hearts of all, which one do you choose?" And then they shook the box, and Matthias's name came on out. We might think that this actually has nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with us. In the opening prayer of the Mass today, we prayed that just as your love has been allotted to us, so may we be worthy to be among the elect. There are 7 billion people on the planet. We're among the 2 billion who recognize Christ for who he is. And out of those 2 billion, we're the 1.1 billion that has access to the fullest means of salvation in the sacrament. The Lord has, in fact, allotted so many of these graces to us, not because he loves us more than all 7 billion. He doesn't. He loves us all. Not because we're better than the 5 billion who don't really know Jesus as Savior. A lot of the times, morally, they might put us to shame. But the Lord, nevertheless, by his inscrutable designs, has chosen us to bless us with this incredible gift. For us as priests and religious, how much more the Lord has made that allotment clear in giving us the beautiful vocations that he has. Not because we're better, not because he loves us more, but as part of his plan. Just as Matthias took up his task, so the Lord wants to give us the grace to take up ours. And the same Holy Spirit that came down upon him, we're preparing to receive tomorrow anew. What was the task of Matthias? St. Peter laid it out very clearly. It's necessary that one of the men who accompanied us the whole time, the Lord Jesus came and went among us, become with us a witness to his resurrection. So the qualification is he needed to know Jesus and know the church. And the task was to give witness to the resurrection. What does this have to do with us? We are called to know Christ Jesus and to know the church. We receive the same Jesus every single day, whose hands Matthias touched, whose eyes fell upon, whose ears heard his word of salvation, whose actual flesh he tasted. We're called not just to go through these actions, but to let them deeply impact us. Because we're never really going to be able to give witness if Jesus is just somebody third person. He's got to become truly second person for us, so that we exist in a you and I relationship. He's given us all the means for that to occur. But he wants that we become the types of friends who know him intimately that he describes in the gospel. For he has indeed revealed to us, just like he revealed to the first apostle, everything he heard from his Father. And then there's the task to give witness to his resurrection. Now, we didn't see him in his appearances, but we are indeed witnesses that Jesus is very much alive. And when we live our faith joyfully, as a consequence of recognizing Jesus is alive, others, in seeing us as those living testimonies, are able to recognize that Jesus can raise them from the dead too. So again, we've been chosen because of our contact with the Lord who has revealed himself to us, to go out in many ways to help those recognize that they're not abandoned, that Jesus is accompanying them side by side. Third point that we could make about this gospel is the means by which we are best able to know Christ Jesus and to give witness to him. Jesus describes that in the gospel today when he talks about keeping his commandments and remaining in his love. If we recognize that the commandments are all about love and we keep them with an assiduous heart, not just on the outside but from the inside, we will remain in his love, especially because the greatest and the first of all the commandments is to love others as he has loved us first. When we actively seek to do that, we're remaining in contact with the Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come down and abide in us. They're able to make their dwelling place among us. And then the witness we're called to give is the witness of Christ in us. The witness of the liberation that comes from loving the way he loves and the joy that flows from it. And to help us to do both, God sends the Holy Spirit to bring us into ever greater communion with the Lord so that we might give ever more powerful witness. In the response to our psalm today, God gives us these words, that he raises up the lowly from the dust. From the dunghill, he lifts up the poor to seat them with princes, the princes of his own people. The Lord has indeed raised us up from the dust of death, breathed into us not just the breath of life at the beginning of our existence, but the Ruah, breathe into us the Holy Spirit who blows as he will, to seat us with the princes. All the other sons and daughters, the princes and princesses of the King of Kings, princes of his own family. He's exalted us like he exalted St. Matthias, like he exalted Peter and James, John, Andrew, and the others. Like he exalted the Blessed Mother, like he exalted St. Mary Magdalene, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa, like he exalted Cardinal O'Connor and others, so that we might, in knowing Christ Jesus, be the witnesses to the world that Christ wants to know them in the same way. As we prepare for the Feast of Pentecost, let us, like Matthias, ponder our calling and meditate anew on St. Peter's words today. The Spirit has spoken beforehand, and it's necessary for us who have accompanied the Lord Jesus become witnesses with the church to his resurrection, its power, and its joy. The Lord has given us a seat with the leaders of his people. Amen.